All right, hopefully that worked out for you guys. Got a chance to get to know a lot of our assistant coaches, a group that we're really excited about. I think you can feel their energy, their enthusiasm, a lot of the same things that we're looking for, and kind of environment and atmosphere that we want to be able to create and kind of set that culture. And it's going to start with us and that coaching staff. So looking forward to that.
Coach, why do you think this staff has come together so fast? And it seemed like every coach that I talked to, there were two words that came up with each of them, and that is fundamentals.
Yeah, and that's exactly what we're and I think it came together so quickly because very fortunate to have a lot of the right people in place. You know, one of the things that's tricky about the NFL is our guys going to be available with their contract situations and things like that. You look at a Coach Phillips to get a guy of his caliber where his contract was running up. We feel very fortunate about that. But kind of worked out where timing ended up being really, you know, in our favor, and we were able to put together a great group of guys on offense and defense, and then being able to come here and keep the continuity with Coach Fossil. And he actually just hired an assistant today that we'll release. We're very excited about him, and that really represents the final product of our coaching staff. So it's exactly what we're looking for, those teachers, like you mentioned, Jim.
Can I go? I think, Sean, you said a couple of days ago about how you spoke to Todd Gurley, and he talked to you about how he wanted another chance with Skip Pete as his running backs coach. Can you just recall that conversation and how much that played into the decision to have Skip Pete on your staff?
Yeah, no, it was it was one of those situations when you go into these interviews where you've got your projected staff in place. Skip was a guy that I had heard a lot of really good things about. I had never had the chance to work with him before, but he had worked with a couple people that I've worked with where I hold their opinion in high regard. So he was a guy I was interested to sit down with and wanted to really get a chance to talk some football, learn what he's about. And that morning before I was getting ready to go, I got a call from a North Carolina area code, didn't know what it was, and I got a text say, this is Todd, which I had spoken to him after I got hired. Then in the meantime, Les is beeping in. I'm thinking, oh, no, I hope this isn't the first bad call I'm getting as a head coach. But it was one of those deals where I got a chance to talk to Todd, and he kind of explained some of the reasons why he felt so strongly about Coach Pete. And, you know, when you've got a key player like that, I think you want to be able to try to demonstrate that you're going to listen to your players, their opinion matters, and somebody of his caliber and the type of guy that he is, very important to us. And that was, you know, definitely it played a factor in why we were able to retain Coach Pete, but he also earned the opportunity because of what he's done as a great coach as well.
And Chuck, can you recall can you share what it was that Todd told you about why he felt so strongly about this?
Yeah, he felt like from just a technique, fundamentals, you know, understanding the position, allowing him to see the big picture where how does he fit with regards to protections. I know last year he was used a lot more in protections on some of those third down situations where you're responsible for blitz pickups and things of that nature, and I think that's what allowed him to kind of expand his game and continue to try to be that every down back that I know he's striving to be. But it was just, you know, a lot of the things that you're looking for with your coaching staff, what they're trying to represent. And I feel like, you know, Todd saw a lot of those things, and that's why he wanted to get a chance to continue to work with him. Absolutely. You know, when you really talk about what makes a great coach, I think ultimately everybody has different levels of abilities, and it's our job to help them reach that highest potential. And that's why Coach Phillips is a great coach. He's got that perspective. I think you heard us talk about it already, where we want to fit our schemes to our players' strengths. And that's why, you know, getting a chance to sit in there today with our defensive staff as they're watching all the tape from last year. I've had a chance to do that on both offense and defense so far. And that's why you can't wait for the offseason program to get going, so then you can evaluate these guys on the grass, get a chance to see how they learn, how they retain information in the meeting room. And that's going to be a big part of it. But certainly reaching there, you know, tailoring your schemes to the players' strengths, helping them reach that highest potential. That's the number one priority, Omar. And then figuring out those schemes is more game plan specific. How do we attack certain coverages on offense? How does the defense defend certain looks and personnel groupings that an offense might present? So those are things, but the first priority is let's help develop our players with the fundamentals, the techniques that we'll emphasize throughout the course of the offseason and continuing throughout the regular season. And that's a big priority for us, absolutely. Yeah, no, it's a great question. You're sitting there with Les yesterday, and those are something that we really discussed at great length. The first priority is let's get a chance to really evaluate our own. You know, who do we have in the building? Are these players guys that we feel like we can win a division with, compete for a conference championship, and then ultimately compete for a Lombardi? So that's our first priority. And then really you want to have a big picture perspective on free agency and the draft. You know, you try to kind of go in sequential order with how those things occur, but it is important to understand – You know, where are the free agents? How does that affect our needs? Or can we address those needs in free agency or the draft? So it's kind of a combination, but the first priority is going to be to evaluate our own. And then you've got to take into account, you know, some of the cap casualties, things like that that will occur. So it's an ongoing process, but certainly right now the number one priority is evaluating the players that we have in the building right now.
Sean, with Greg Olsen, what were some of the qualities that made you think he was the guy to be the quarterback's coach? And then also, with your background developing quarterbacks, Matt's and Greg, how does that chain of command work? And how do you guys, with so much experience working with quarterbacks, how does it become one voice rather than all these voices coming at Jared?
Yeah, well, I got a chance to work with Coach Olsen my first year in Tampa, and he's a great communicator. I really had a lot of respect for him because when I finished playing at Miami of Ohio, he was one of the coaches that kind of took me under his wing, helped kind of guide me, and really always appreciated and watching him from afar the way that he communicated with his guys and, you know, was always taking time on those periods that might not have been specifically focused on offense. But if it's special teams, defensive periods, he was always making sure those guys were working. And he's a guy that we've kept in touch throughout the course of our coaching careers. And he was a guy when he became available, wanted to get him to be part of this staff. And you look at with Coach LaFleur that we're going to be able to have as our offensive coordinator, he's a guy that we were able to develop a really close relationship in Washington. Detail-oriented, good communicator, been around some of the most productive offenses over the last couple years. You look at what Atlanta was able to do, a lot of the things that we do philosophically will be very similar, you know, because being able to work under Kyle for a couple years in Washington definitely shaped some of my core beliefs and what we want to do offensively here. So being able to have a guy that's been in that system, looking at the production they had was very enticing to try to get him to be a part of this. And you know, I think you really look at it, Gary, it's very important for us to all be on the same page. That's why when you get Matt here on Monday, we'll all be on the same rhythm as far as what we're communicating to Jared, what the expectations are. I certainly don't know because I've never experienced it, but you talk to people that have been in the role that I'm getting ready to take on, and you know that you want to be involved in the offense, but there's going to be times when you're going to be pulled in different directions, and that's why it's very important to have Matt and Greg in place where if you're not able to be a part of the offensive meetings or whatever's going on, you trust that their leadership will continue to, you know, have that same messaging so that our quarterbacks know exactly what the expectations are. So I don't think you can have enough good coaches in the building. We're going to create an environment where it's about all of us working together. You know, I mentioned this the other day. Coach Phillips said to his defensive staff, "You guys aren't working for me, you're working with me." And I love that. And that's what we're trying to do. We're all working together with each other, figuring out how to help those players, and especially Jared's going to be a big part of what we're trying to do moving forward.
Coach, why do you think, after looking at tape, Todd Gurley had such a subpar season?
Well, I think, you know, each plays its own entity, especially in the run game, Jim, and when you really look at it, it takes all 11. You know, it takes running versus the right looks. It takes the tight end setting the edge, and I think each play, you know, you kind of look at it and say, okay, could Todd have maybe read it out better, or could a guy have maybe gotten a combination block up to the second level better? So each play has its own reason for why it might not have worked out. But what you do see in Todd is a special player. He's got great gifts as far as just a talented runner with natural instincts, ability when he gets to the second level to make people miss kind of seamlessly. And we're looking to get him to be that player consistently week in and week out. And from what I've seen so far, really excited about the opportunity to work with him, and we feel confident that he'll get going and be a special back for a long time in this league.
Sean, have you been able to give much thought to Greg Robinson and where he fits in, whether he'll remain your left tackle?
Yeah, you know, that's something that we're constantly evaluating right now, and Greg is a big part of that evaluation process. Obviously, when you look at some of the things he's able to do, you see the athleticism in space when he's pulling around and using some of those perimeter schemes that they did offensively last year. He's a guy that we're excited to get around. You know, that's why you're frustrated that you have to wait so long to get these guys in the building, see them on the grass, how you're going to evaluate their ability to kind of retain some of the things we'll ask them to do, what Coach Cromer will do, technique fundamental-wise, which is imperative for that group up front. And Greg is a guy that we're constantly evaluating, and he's a big part of what we're going to try to do moving forward right now.
Sean, given your guys' history, you and Kyle, obviously he's now the head coach at a team that shares a rivalry with this organization. What are your thoughts on competing directly with him and, you know, given the circumstances in the division?
Yeah, no, I told him, I said, I can't tell you how happy I am for you, but can't believe I've got to see you twice a year now. You know, he's a great coach. You know, you look at what they were able to do offensively last year. I think it'll be hard pressed to find a team lead the league in scoring, most touchdowns, and fewest turnovers. It's incredible. So I got a chance to see them play up front in the NFC Championship game, and I was so impressed with just their overall operation, with how efficient they were, how quick they got in and out of the huddle. And Kyle's a guy that has had a tremendous influence on some of the things that I believe in offensively. He's a great coach, and wish him nothing but the best for 14 games, except for those two next year.
And similarly, you know, you guys are the two youngest head coaches in the league. You're also going to be competing in a division against two of the three oldest head coaches in the league, including the oldest in Pete Carroll. Just what are your thoughts on the coaching landscape here in your division?
Yeah, I think when you look at what Coach Carroll and Coach Arians have accomplished throughout the course of their career, their resume speaks for itself. There's great coaches around this league, but those are two guys in particular that I have a whole lot of respect for. Great defensive leader in Coach Carroll, and then what he's able to bring to Seattle, that culture that, you know, we talk about, you know, he's the epitome of kind of being able to bring a culture, put it in place, and you see it show up on their tape. And then Coach Arians, great offensive mind, turning those guys into consistent winners year in and year out. Great respect for them. It's a very competitive division, and those are the two teams that have really done a nice job over the last couple years, and that's what we're striving to do and striving to become moving forward.
Sean, being a month into the job, have there been any big surprises thus far?
I don't think it's surprises. I think you're just surprised by, you know, kind of the reality of when you sit down to do something at 6 in the morning and then it's 8:30 at night and here I am ready to do that thing that I was set out to do at 6 in the morning. You get pulled in a bunch of different directions, but that's why it's important to have those great people around you that you know when you're doing those other tasks that you can trust things are being done the right way. And it's definitely been a whirlwind. Haven't had a chance to slow down, but it's been great. I've really enjoyed it so far. Continuing to get to know the people all around this building just reiterates why I'm so fortunate and feel blessed to be here.
Sean, I know receiver was a position a lot of people looked at and considered a weakness on this team last year. Heading into the offseason, while you're in the midst of doing that evaluation, what do you feel like needs to be addressed at that position this offseason going into next season?
Well, I think any time that you look at just the receiver position and really guys that handle the ball in general, you can't have enough playmakers, and, you know, guys that make great things happen with the ball in their hands. And when you look at the receiver position, you look at some of the things that Tavon Austin does with the ball both in the run game and when he's able to, you know, catch it as a receiver. He's a guy that you want to move all over the formation. Just getting a chance to watch kind of his touch tape, you know, when he's targeted in the pass game last year, again yesterday, you see a lot of encouraging things, and you see where he can take that growth and that next step to become a true complete receiver. But you can't have enough playmakers. Certainly that's something that we're always looking to upgrade. That receiver position is very important. A lot of yards and offensive production go through that room, so we want to try to find a way to get the best players on the field, and whether it be through the running backs, tight ends, or receivers, you know, throwing the football is going to be a big part of what we want to do and what's going to allow us to be successful offensively.
Hey, Sean, I just had a quick follow-up on Kyle. I don't know if you could assign a percentage to this, but how much of the offense that you implemented with the Redskins kind of came from Kyle and maybe what you learned from him?
Yeah, it's hard to you know, specifically say a percentage, but it is one of those situations where you look at, you know, getting a chance to work under Coach Gruden, the influence that he had on me, and then working with Mike and Kyle. It was certainly a product and a factor in kind of shaping what we became the last couple years in Washington. And that's why you're excited about what our Rams offense is going to become, because you've got guys like Matt LaFleur coming in. You've got Greg Olsen, Aaron Cromer, guys that have had a lot of success at different stops, and that's what's going to, you know, combined to create the Rams offense for us moving forward. And we're all a product of our experiences. Certainly Kyle and Coach Shanahan's offense has had a big influence on what I believe and how I think you want to attack a defense. But it's going to be something that's going to be an ongoing process, figuring out our players first and then how we fit that scheme to their skill sets.